With only 5% of the world's population, the U.S. has 25% of the world's prison population, which makes the USA the world's largest jailer. Since 1970, the U.S. prison population has risen 700%.
Many groups have labeled this torture. Well,
he didn't do anything!
Oh, that's messed up, but it could never happen to me. Yes, it could. It could happen to you, just like that.
What we see on most TV shows is not reality.
I was so frightened.
Are you going to be a victim?
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. Now, we often hear Islam is the fastest growing way of life in the world, and it is according to the Guinness Book of World Records. But a lot of times, people, because of all the distractions out there, they don't get a chance to sit, focus, and reflect. That's why, sad to say, but true, many people, when they do get in a situation where they're forced behind bars in jail, now all the entertainment, everything, all the disco lights are off. Now it's time to reflect and think because you're forced into it. Not only is Islam the fastest growing way of life outside of the prisons, but inside the prisons. And we have our next guest who accepted Islam in jail. He's here to give us the inside scoop on why he accepted it and how life was in the prisons for Muslims. When we come back here on the Dean Show, don't go anywhere.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum, Siraj.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, my brother?
I'm tired, alhamdulillah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So often we hear about Islam being the fastest growing way of life in the world, and this is true according to the Guinness Book of World Records, but now we want to know, inside the prisons, is it true also that Islam is rapidly growing in the prisons?
Very much so, no, very much so.
Why would you say this is?
Because I witness it. I've been incarcerated now for 17 years, and I've been to 9 different prisons, and I can honestly say that brothers are taking their shahada in large numbers now.
Well, so you were incarcerated 17 years?
17 years.
And now you got out, and how long, at what point in your prison term were you exposed to Islam, and how long did it actually take you to figure out that this was a way of life that you wanted to live?
Okay, in maybe 2001, I was in a SHU, a special housing unit, the hole, where they put inmates in for different infractions that they commit in the prison system. And every morning I used to hear a brother calling the Don. At that time I didn't know what it was. And I stayed in the hole for 6 months, and that brother called the Adhan faithfully. And that call, the prayer, what made me take my shahada. Hearing that Adhan every morning, and it had got so much ingrained in my heart that I memorized the Adhan in the shoe way down the hallway. So when I got out of the hole, out of the shoe,
That's what they call it, the hole or the shoe.
Uh-huh. The first thing I inquired about was, you know, what was that brother doing in the hole? Because it touched my heart. And they sent me to the chapel on the Jumu'ah Friday, and I took my shahada that day.
Mm-hmm. No. What were you in jail for?
I was in jail for a conspiracy for drugs.
Mm-hmm. So now you did your time.
No.
And did you feel like while you were in prison, was there a rehabilitation? Do people go in prison? And because the idea is, I would think that, okay, someone, we all make mistakes.
Right.
Right, we all make mistakes, and some of them, the worst people who make mistakes are the people who don't get caught a lot of times.
Right.
And they get away with millions.
Right.
And there's no justice unless you got money.
That's right.
But now, we often hear that people go to prison and they become worse.
Right.
Is this true?
It's very true. And you're only going to get two things up out of prison. You're going to find yourself, or you're going to lose yourself to the system.
Oh, so find yourself or lose yourself.
No, and the system or the prison system or the industrial complex is set up to trap and enslave you. And for those of us like myself who had a determination to do better and I want to change, I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting me to be a Muslim first and foremost. But then you got a lot of brothers in prison who get lost in the system and they never find their way. Never, and they don't understand the totality of what's really going on, and it's unfortunate.
Like how when you say they get lost in the system, what do you mean?
Well, they go to prison. They want to criminally master with the next man, criminally master. So they go in prison doing credit cards, and all they talk about when they get out, I'm just going to sell weed because weed don't get that much time. Or they go selling coke and they want to come out selling heroin, and they never get a chance to really think about their actions, never. And it takes a lot of determination to want to change. You know, change is a process. And I'm just thankful that Allah guided my heart, because I'll be lost too.
Now, you were in isolation.
No.
People don't understand that. We often hear torture.
No.
Humanitarian and many groups have labeled this torture.
No.
For people to be isolated in a cage. Can you talk a little bit about what's that like?
It's another tool that the prison system used to degrade you. And they basically put you in a room by yourself or a cell, and you have no contact for 24 hours a day. You get your meal, then they slide your meal through a metal tray through the door. You get 1 hour of rec a week, and you shower in your rooms, basically. Some of the prisons, the guard have to escort you to the prison, but you only can take a shower twice a week. And it's torture. Basically, what they're doing, they're torturing you, and they're trying to just sap the life out of you. That's what that experience is like.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But now, let's say someone says, look, we want safer streets, we want less crime. What else do we have? What other options do we have? Like to rehabilitate people, to, you know, get people who are committing these crimes, you know, to make them pay for what they've done. What are the solutions?
Well, the staff or the administration in the prison system try to trick you into believing that the programs that they're offering would be the key, but it's not. And the majority of those programs are taught by inmates. Very rarely do you see a staff teaching a class or putting forth a sincere effort and wanting to see you change, because that's their way of living. The more people they have in prison, they got to secure employment. So they're really not trying to train you or teach you how to not come to prison. So they just let you just free. And the inmates who teach in the classes, they basically just inmate talk classes with no substance. And I believe that the only thing that would really get people to wake up in the prison system is Islam. And that's just my firm belief.
Do you feel that Islam helped rehabilitate you?
It definitely did. And I'm not the person today that I was yesterday. If I really like, I don't like to think about it, but if I want to talk about it, I'm gonna just share this with you. I live beneath my privilege. I dishonor my mother and my father, and I brought a lot of pain and suffering on my children. I'm ashamed of that. And Islam helped me with that, because I know now that this deen or this religion didn't come to a bunch of perfect people. It came to perfect people. And I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it took some time. And I would be naive to sit here and say that everything happened overnight. I had a lot of work to do, because I had a lot of dunya dust still, you know, around my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still caught up in the jahiliyyah, in the ignorance that I used to do in the past. So it took a lot. But every day I worked at it, and I worked at it, and I worked at it. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward me for my efforts.
Inshallah. That we're all a work in progress,
no,
yeah.
No, yes.
That's the beautiful thing, that now Islam gives you the purpose of life while you're here.
No.
It reforms you to become a better human being. And what, if I'm understanding correctly, so you didn't have these programs that are helping to educate you, that are helping to rehabilitate you, to help you come out a better human being.
Basically, all that was taken away many years ago when they had where you can go to college and you can have college classes come in and offer you something, or you can have an instructor of some value come in and teach you some skills. That's gone. And I've been from the USPs all the way down to the lows. I worked my way down from a maximum prison to a low prison over the years, and that was because I had patience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted me patience. And I have never seen in 9 different prisons in my 17-year sentence programs that was realistic or of value or substance, never. And if you really want change, you have to do it for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with the prison system. They don't offer you anything but hard work. Mm-hmm. That's it. They just want to work you, and they want to try to keep you there as long as possible.
Work you for, I heard, pennies.
Yes, 15 cents an hour at a unicorn job at the factories. And it's really slave labor. That's basically what it is. And if you don't work, they punish you some more, and they take away your good time, or they take your phone privilege where you can't speak to your family. They take away your visits when you don't have access to your loved ones where you can talk to them face to face. They take away your commissary where you can't even buy the basic necessities to get by. And so basically what they're doing is torturing you, mm-hmm. because that's the way the system is.
I want to get your reaction to this video, mm-hmm. and then you can tell me what you think, if it's pretty dead on.
With only 5% of the world's population, the U.S. has 25% of the world's prison population, which makes the USA the world's largest jailer. Since 1970, the U.S. prison population has risen 700%. 93% of people in prison are male, 7% are female. Together, African American and Hispanics comprise 58% of all prisoners in 2008, even though African Americans and Hispanics make up approximately one quarter of the U.S. population. 1 in 6 black men have been incarcerated as of 2001. If current trends continue, 1 in 3 black males born today can expect to spend time in prison during his lifetime. About $70 billion are spent on corrections yearly. Prisons and jails consume a growing portion of the nearly $200 billion we spend annually on public safety. And prison is a growing industry. Between 1990 and 2010, the number of privately operated prisons in the U.S. increased by 1,600%. Over half of the private prison profits come from holding facilities for undocumented immigrants. In contracts with the government, some private prison companies demand minimum occupancy levels of more than 90%. These contracts guarantee that prison occupancy rates will stay at or above a specified level. If occupancy rates are not fulfilled, the government pays for the empty beds. As it turns out, private companies have a cheap, easy labor market, and it isn't in China. It's right here in the land of the free, where large corporations increasingly employ prisoners as a source of cheap and sometimes free labor. Many prisoners are forced to work real jobs for private corporations, forcing down wages in the rest of the economy. The nation's prison industry now employs more people than any Fortune 500 corporation except General Motors. Some people call prison labor modern-day slavery. A few companies who hire prison labor are Victoria's Secret, Boeing, McDonald's, and Starbucks. Solitary confinement, widely used in American prisons, is regarded internationally as torture. Prisoners held in solitary confinement are typically kept in a small, windowless cell for 23 hours a day with minimal access to lawyers, family, and guards. The number of prisoners currently in solitary is estimated to be around 80,000. Because of its prison system, the U.S. is the only country in the world where more men are raped than women. There were 216,000 victims of rape in U.S. prisons in 2008. That is roughly 600 a day, or 25 every hour.
So what's your reaction when you see that?
They are pretty much on the mark.
Yeah?
Yes, very much.
That's surprising when you say, okay, we're 5% of the world's population here in America, but we hold 25% of the world's prisoners.
No, that's sad, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see change?
I would like to see the whole system change, but it don't start in the prison system. It got to start first in the governments, and then in the states, and in the courts, and all those areas where they initiating this horrible thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. It has to start somewhere else first, because the prison is just a front. You know, it's a big front for these, like the tape was saying, the corporations who are investing all this money in, mm-hmm. into the prison system. And a lot of these politicians are getting money off the prison system, and they putting these people in play where they got job security for the rest of their life. And the thing that I've seen also is that you now have whole families working in prison system. So you got the mother, the father, the kids, and this is... It's employment for them. That's how they look at it. They don't see the effect that it's doing on people's everyday lives. They're just looking at the money. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. And I wish I had the answer where I can just give you a concrete resolution of what I think need to be done. I don't. Honestly, I don't.
Well, what we see is that a lot of people, they end up, they like to, even these politicians and the people that are out there, the haters, the Islamophobes, they try to make Islam look backwards. They try to denigrate Islam. They try to make Muslims look oppressive and whatnot. But you have a system that's right in front of us, along with many of the systems. I mean, there are a lot of good people out there, but there are underlining factors. And I understand when we all make, you know, people make mistakes. And now when the system is kind of setting it up for a person to fail. Mm-hmm. And then when they do fail, instead of helping them to get back on their feet, to get rehabilitated, from what I'm getting from yourself and what, when people look into it, you go in there and, for example, you might have gotten arrested for a petty crime.
No.
But then you get inside and now you're around the mastermind of criminals.
Right.
Who help educate you to be a better criminal.
No.
There's no schooling system in place from what you're telling me and what we see.
Well, the basic education school,
yeah.
GED.
Okay.
But no college courses. They do have, like, you know, some little construction classes, or you might have a CDL class you can take, but nothing to the scale what it should be if you really want to see people make a difference and come home and not come back to prison.
Well, you get empowered now with some knowledge, and you can get out. I was reading where they had people out there, the inmates, fighting forest fires, fighting fires.
No.
And train like the professionals, but then when they get out, they're putting their lives on the line. They're getting paid pennies,
right.
But then when they get out, they're stigmatized. They cannot get a job.
That's how it is, and I'll testify to that myself. I've been home now 40 some days, going on 50 days, and I've been on maybe 20 interviews, and the only thing that they see is the mistake I made. They don't see the person I really am.
Mm-hmm.
Or the skills I had to acquire on my own to be a better person. And it's an unfortunate thing. And that's going to be with me for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to let that deter me from being a better person, a better son to my mother and father, a better father to my children, and a better sibling to my brothers and sisters, and a better slave to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
That's first and most important to me. So, you know, you're going to go through some trials and tribulations, but you just got to hang in there.
So would you say the best gift that you got in the prison was Islam?
Definitely. And I say that with all honesty. Had I not had Islam in my life, I don't know where I'd been right now. There were some times in the prison system I felt like giving up because I had that long sentence. And I really didn't have anything to look forward to. And I was really in a dark place. And I'm thankful every day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me that chance because I view life differently. I see things on a different scale. I don't have tunnel vision anymore. And like you said earlier, you alluded to earlier, it's the propaganda that they tried to put out against Islam to deter people from accepting the truth, the haq. And that's an unfortunate thing, but Allah tells us about that too in the Quran, that they aim to extinguish the light of Islam with their udder or blowing with their mouths, and that's the manufacturing of mistruths, lying, propaganda, using their airways and their media.
Mm-hmm.
But Allah has willed to spread us like no matter how much the disbelievers have hated, and I stand firm on that.
Mm-hmm.
This deen is growing, and like we said earlier, brothers are not being tricked by that anymore. They're taking their shahadas, and I've witnessed this, and it's a wonderful thing.
So for people that don't know, earlier what you were talking about, you heard the adhan, that's the call to prayer.
Yes, I did.
Come to prayer, come to success. There's nothing worthy of worship except God, Almighty Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Muhammad is his final messenger. And obviously this would include all the messengers that came before him, Jesus, Moses, Abraham, because they all came with Islam, calling mankind not to worship the creation, but the one creator. And that resonates with the heart. It makes sense, that pure monotheism, a believable message based on proof and evidence.
Yes.
And you're saying people are taking their shahada, la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, and that's what one needs to do to become a Muslim, is to give birth what's already in your very nature. And we're seeing that that's what's helping reform.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a system, what do you think now? We were talking, watching the video, that people aren't abreast to this, that you have these private, before 1980, I believe, mm-hmm. it wasn't privatized,
no,
the prison
wasn't.
System.
No, it wasn't.
Then from like 1990 onward, you had a skyrocketing percentage, I think 1,600% of the prison population skyrocketed.
Yes.
So if these beds, so the private institutions now, they want these prisons filled.
To make money.
To make money.
Yes, yes, exactly. And if, and they would do anything possible to keep them filled.
Mm-hmm.
If they have to put you in there for crimes that ordinarily would get you probation or would get you just a fine, if they can put you in that prison and manufacture some lies, they would do it because they want to keep them beds filled because
yeah.
they're not generating no income with empty beds.
And this is not just with adults.
Oh,
this
no.
is also with
yeah.
juveniles. You
yes.
had this judge not too long ago. Mm-hmm. He got sentenced. Alhamdulillah, he got caught.
Mm-hmm.
But he was given the stiffest penalties and he was getting kickbacks.
From the, I saw that. No.
From the...
No.
The private prison
yes,
system.
Yes, no.
Former Luzerne County Judge Mark Chivarella faces charges tonight.
Prosecutors say he ruined countless young lives, sending children to jails in return for cash.
No, no, it's sad. And I've lost two sons to the prison system. And they both started off in the juvenile system. And it's sad. And I'm willing to, I can't bet you because we don't gamble in Islam. But that lawyer didn't do no time, or that judge didn't do no time for what he did. I don't think he did.
Wow.
Because if you got money, you can buy your way out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of the people in the prison system now, they're not the kingpins, the real drug dealer. These guys never even own a house or a car, and they only can afford gym shoes. And they're doing all the time like the kingpins supposed to be doing. So all the kingpins are actually still out in the streets. And the majority of them are the politicians.
The people from Wall Street,
no.
who ripped off most of the people, they got let loose.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you have to kind of get, you got to buy justice.
No.
Do you see that?
No. All the time.
There's a lot of documentaries on it. There's one that I really recommend people to watch called The Survivor's Guide to Prison. It talks about the plea bargain system.
Yes.
It talks about how the public defenders, they really only get to spend like under 10 minutes with
talking to you, yes.
yeah, talking to
yes.
you, and they pretty much try to convince you just to plea it out.
He didn't do anything.
Oh, that's messed up, but it could never happen to me. Yes, it could. It could happen to you just like that.
What we see on most TV shows is not reality.
I was so frightened.
Are you going to be a victim?
I wasn't in San Quentin a week, and I watched a man die right next to me.
I'm on my bunk, and I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, damn, ain't somebody going to come help this dude?
It's more like a horror show.
Just ask for an attorney.
Don't blindly trust authority figures.
Be ready to stand your ground.
You're gonna need money.
Pray for a miracle.
They take a bad situation and they usually make it much worse.
All the data luckily is out there. It's just a matter of whether you give it.
We're gonna get perspectives from investigative journalists, analysts, academics, prison staff, lawyers, cops, inmates.
So in the unfortunate case that this may happen to you, this is the Survivor's Guide to Prison.
And it's not just the public defenders, the real lawyers.
And the real lawyers.
The real lawyers. When I first got arrested on my case, I spent almost $160,000 on lawyers. And I was in the pretrial stage for a year. I probably saw my real lawyer three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to trial. So how possibly can a lawyer defend you when he don't even know nothing about you or your case? It was about the money. So it's big business with the lawyers as well. It wasn't just the public defenders, because the public defenders get paid by the courts.
Mm-hmm.
And the little money they do get, they don't want to do no work anyway. And sometimes their caseloads are so overburdened, they got 15, 20 people in court in one day. And it's sad. It's all about this money.
Yeah. Wow. I've asked this question. Mm-hmm. Islam, anything that goes away from that, because you can't have peace unless you have justice.
No.
And Islam is built on justice
no.
and peace. And anyone who has a sincere and is genuine in their approach to analyzing Islam, they'll see that it's something from the Creator, and there's no way that it could have come from anyone other than the one who created this whole universe and everything in it. Now, there is a penal system. There are punishments, deterrents, strong deterrents to keep people away from doing crimes.
No.
And we know that after everyone's been fed, justice has been established, even this deterrent was suspended one time in history. We'll talk about the amputation of the hand.
Right.
When people didn't have, you know, people aren't getting locked up for, like, you know, like you said, like for food or for some basic necessities. But this is like the mastermind. This is the person who's trying to come in your home and rob you, who's plotting and planning. So let's say now that person who's locked up, and let me see what you say, because you were in the prison system, and that person who was locked up now for 10, 15, 20, whatever years, and they're in the system, in jail, but now they're offered to go back to their family, to get out, to get a new start, but they're going to also have to suffer the consequences mm-hmm. of the amputation of the hand. Mm-hmm. If you were given that choice, what would you have done?
Take my hand.
You
definitely take my
hand. You didn't hesitate there.
I wouldn't hesitate. Take my hand. Take my hand, because...
To get that 17 years back?
To get that 17 years back, take my hand. Because that would definitely deter me. And I would rather for you to take my hand, definitely. I have no doubt in my mind that would be my answer.
Let's dissect that a little bit. Like, how much... okay, so your life now, you... Do you feel that would have helped you save a lot of the family issues that were a result of of being away from them for 17 years?
And especially as a father, definitely. With my boys especially, I lost two sons to the prison system already. My daughters, not having that guidance that they really needed in their life to make the choices with even choosing a boyfriend, because my daughters... they only knew me for who I used to be. So they was naturally looking for a man like me, somebody that was in the streets, who was able to give them the bling stuff, the material stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was an unfortunate thing for me. It was hard for me to accept that. And my sons, thinking that my old lifestyle was like a badge of honor, they want to be in the streets and sell drugs and be like their daddy. All that was my fault, because I should have been there for my children. So had I had the opportunity or the choice, listen, this is what we're going to offer you. Time, or we take your hand. Take my hand. I honestly can say that. Let me go be with my family.
You would have saved, how much you think you would have saved the taxpayers also?
Oh, man, so much money.
Is that 17 times? What does it cost a year to house someone? I heard it somewhere. What is it like? I heard somewhere between $70,000 to $100,000.
Yes, it's between that, yes, uh-huh. a year. Yes.
A year?
Yes.
So figure how much that times 17 would have saved the taxpayers, your family now. You wouldn't have had that connection with your family.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So we ask people to think, you know, before they make a very biased, prejudiced, stereotypical accusation towards Islam and Muslims. To really look into Islam, we try to bring these stories to light to show highlights now that someone who went in the prison system and they actually came out rehabilitated, not because of the prison system, but because of Islam.
Exactly. And then, with all honesty, the majority, a good 80 to 90% of the brothers who take their shahada in prison, never get into trouble. Well respected by the staff and authorities in prison. Are the trendsetters. They do all the things that normally the guards should do, keep the drama down, the trouble down, organize programs, the Muslims. But you don't hear about that in the media. People don't talk about that much. But inside the prison system, the Muslims are the dominant force. And the guards look to them for everything.
So they have a good relationship with the warden and the guards?
Of course. They call them for everything to stop... two factions fighting against each other. They find an imam from the community or a well-respected brother that's a Muslim, and they try to talk to them into going out to, mediate the situation. And the Muslims are well-respected in prison.
So because the prison guard, they don't have to worry about getting shanked, beat up by the Muslims. Right. Muslims are the actual peacemakers. Is that right?
That's exactly.
Yes.
And all the prisons I've been to. And that was another thing that really made me say Islam is a better way for me, because I saw it myself, and I used to always question, well, how come these brothers are well respected like that? That's why. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them that way.
When you have consciousness of your Creator, when you're connected to your Creator, you submit your will to the Creator, that's what Islam is. That's you become is. The whole point is to become a better human being.
Yes, no.
So we need more Islam in the prisons, and if you have Islam outside of the prisons, everywhere you have Islam, you're going to have more of a peaceful environment. You're going to have more peace, not only for that person within themselves, but they're going to want, that's going to resonate, and that's going to help to develop peace in other people's lives by sharing this way of life. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share some of the insights that you had with us. And anything else we missed from the story that you like to, you think is important, you'd like to share?
Well, if people would look at Islam wholeheartedly, they would see the beauty in Islam. And this religion really is truly, and I'm not just saying this because I'm Muslim. I'm saying it because I witness it. It's a better way for everybody. And I believe if Islam was offered to the world in its true form, we'd have a better society. I honestly believe that.
What do you believe about Jesus now? As a, were you a Christian before?
Yes, I was.
So what do you believe about Jesus now as opposed to before?
I love him. I love Jesus, or Isa, alayhi salam. It's just some differences that I have with his death and, you know, stuff like that. But I love Jesus, and I don't believe you can be a Muslim if you don't love Jesus.
Yeah, that's 100% on point. Yeah, not as a God or a literal son of God, but obviously as like Abraham was. No. He was a messenger of God.
Every prophet that God ever sent were messengers, and unfortunately, the books got a little twisted, and I don't want to get into that right now, but I love Jesus. I love him.
So you did your homework. You had a lot of time to read. You did a lot of reading?
I taught myself Arabic, how to read and write. I was the imam or the spiritual leader in the prison system for the last 12 years. And I'm in a better place. I don't have no regrets. I don't look back at my past and say, had I did this or had I did that, because I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his Carter. And my family love me more now, and I only been home 40 days, and they respect me more that I'm a Muslim. They see the change in me. Everybody I come in contact with see the change in me, and that's all that matters.
What advice do you have for the people who are chasing that bling-bling lifestyle? They're looking up to, you know, trying to be a drug lord or, you know, trying to be this, that, and everything negative, and, you know, the hip-hop community and all this. They're not really helping, are they?
Oh, no. The material things, it's a false reality. And I used to ask myself sometimes, what makes a man gamble his life away for a false reputation and some material things, knowing the mentality of his oppressors, the system.
Yeah.
And I see that now. And it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. And I can stand here and I can tell you the sad stories, the struggles that I had to go through. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend it wasn't easy. I didn't just take my shahada and all of a sudden like this, I was all holy and my head was up to the sky. I had to go through some things. I had to work out some stuff that was ingrained in my heart, in my qalb. But Islam is a better way. And if you're looking for that peace and that serenity, that tranquility, try Islam. Just try Islam.
Brother Siraj, do you have a contact number if people wanted to contact you and give some support and love? And
of course.
Maybe even if you, to reach out to you?
Of course. My cell number is 773-255-4092, and I have a Gmail account, Cooper, COOPER, Raymond, RAYMOND, 41 at gmail.com.
I like that. Try Islam. You tried everything else. Kid Rock ain't going to give you peace.
No.
Who are those other famous now? I've been so far out of tune, but all of those people who are flashing that bling bling for a few minutes on screen, some of them, most of them, living the most miserable lives. But you have our brother here, Siraj. Spent time, but now he found himself and he got the greatest gift. And he's telling you how you can have peace and be successful by try Islam. Try to put your head on the ground, humble yourself, and seek help from the creator of the heavens and the earth. Ask him for guidance. Ask him, why are you here? If you were on the moon, you'd want to know how you ended up there. But how did you end up on this earth? And what are you doing here? And where, more importantly, where are you going to go when you die? Because we're all going to die. And you don't just fall asleep and that's it. there's a whole nother reality that opens up. And Islam lays out the blueprint, what you need to do in this life to be successful by worshiping the creator, not the creation, doing good deeds, striving to be the best human being possible, and how you can be successful when you depart on your DD, death date, from this life. Thank you very much. Subscribe if you haven't already. Click on the notifications button so you can get our show sent to you every week here on The Dean Show. We'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.